heard by others. So bear that in mind as we're engaging in the arguments. But in keeping with due process, the hearings are all still public, and the audio recording of these proceedings will therefore be posted on the judiciary's website in due course. Our rules of presentation are unchanged. Typically, each party will have 15 minutes for argument with an additional 5 minutes for the appellant's counsel for rebuttal. But in this case, because we will only be hearing from appellant's counsel, respondent having waived the opportunity for oral argument, there will be no need for rebuttal unless Mr. Landon would like to offer some contrary argument to his argument in chief. We'll only hear his 15-minute argument. Counsel, if you will state your name as you commence your argument, that would help us to keep track of things in our audio recording. You may proceed whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. If it may please the court, Carl Blondin, appearing on behalf of the appellant, Mr. Kishelishin. As the court can see from my brief, there are two issues that my client wishes to bring to the Court of Appeals' attention. I think the easiest is really the second issue, the modification of child support. My client set out a case, a prima facie case for modification of child support. It was not rebutted. There is no statutory authority for a district court judge to refer the child support issue to a non-judicial officer. The law requires the court to hear the motion and to make a decision. And the judgment and decree, which the trial court appeared to rely upon, has no provision that would require a child support motion to first be mediated or heard by anyone.
Can I inquire? You mentioned it would be easier to address issue two first. Is it in fact true that issue one's been resolved in any event by our earlier panel? So issue two really is the only issue for us to consider in any event.
Earlier panel did make a ruling on, I believe it was legal custody and this was physical custody, and it's the same arguments. Yes, Your Honor. And that
so when you say yes, the point being is we do not rule, you agree, essentially, issue one is not properly before as given the earlier ruling, and I understand the Supreme Court denied petition for review. So your client, indeed, if he wishes to proceed on a motion to modify custody, will have to mediate first.
Well, that would be one interpretation, and I think a strong argument. If I can just...
What I'm inquiring on that first issue, again, I'm focusing on issue number one first. Are you asking us to interpret that provision, even though a panel involving the same order and the same provision has already ruled on it and a petition for review has been denied?
I would like the panel to look at it and decide if the same standard applies for legal as well as physical custody. And getting to that issue, the big problem is, you know, what is a party to do when they make a prima facie case and the court refuses to hear it? And one of the problems that we have is we have an older teenager. And the
I'm sorry to interrupt you again, Mr. Blount. I'm still trying to clarify. Are you indicating that the first panel decision in reviewing the order based on the motion from December 24 of 2000, I believe, 19, did not address legal custody and mediation, but only addressed physical custody and mediation because your motion only requested physical custody, and hence the motion in August addresses both?
Yes, and Your Honor, as I was trying to state, one of the problems is at what point are we ever going to listen to an older teenager? That issue was not really addressed by the first panel. I did raise the issue. The first panel did not look at the issue of why a district court may ignore the wishes of an older teenager. The Minnesota Supreme Court has made it clear that while the wishes will not be absolutely controlling, we need to listen to the older teenagers. We now have a young woman who is over 17 years old, and no one will listen to what she wants in her life.
Counsel, wouldn't this issue be dealt with in mediation as opposed to this kind of continuing litigation as she gets older? If the matter had just gone to mediation way back when, obviously, wouldn't that have been an issue for the mediator?
I don't think that's a matter that can be properly mediated. We're talking about looking at the needs of a third party, the child, and the child's, you know, desires, a young woman. The current case, the previous case is physical custody. The current case is legal custody only, child support only. So it's not even as, you know, shocking as a change in custody. It's just, at what point are we going to start listening to older teenagers as the Supreme Court has asked us to? Now, I don't know if this panel is aware, there is also the older teenager did bring an emancipation petition that was denied, and the child's attorney appealed it. It's court file A19-1628. And I did submit a brief on that, and right now it's not scheduled for oral arguments, but I can tell you quite frankly, if the matter comes up for oral argument, I will be saying we wouldn't be in this position if courts would just listen to older teenagers. One frustration I've had as an attorney in practice is sometimes district court judges just refuse to listen to the teenager. And if you find out what this person wants, what their dreams, hopes, and aspirations are, you can avoid a lot of litigation.
But isn't that, it looks like you're arguing the substance. And isn't our question really about the procedure? Not whether the district court should listen to the teenager, but whether the stage was set procedurally to consider the teenager's preferences.
There is a procedural argument, and I would also point out that in this motion, there is also an affidavit from the older teenager setting out ways in which she was endangered.
But my question is, isn't that, I mean, your principled argument, I think, is a compelling one. You know, when don't courts have to rely upon the preference of the teenager? I think that's, you're probably right, that's resolved pretty clearly, but isn't the issue before us whether the district court procedurally, as a matter of procedure, not substance of the teenager's testimony, but procedurally, whether the district court was simply correct in choosing not to consider it procedurally, not substantively, because of the lack of mediation? Isn't that the only question before us?
I think it's a little more subtle because of the differences in the two motions. In this motion, my client also relied upon an affidavit from the child setting out reasons why she was endangered, behavior of her mother. That was summarily dismissed by the district court. The district court did not want to consider that. I think those facts, the setting out of the endangerment, compels the district court to look at the issue and listen to the teenager. If it was simply the same facts, Your Honor, it'd be very difficult. Whoops, can you see me?
Yep, we can still see you and we can hear you.
My screen went blank. Now I can see it. I moved my cursor. If it was simply the same facts presented, my client would be in a much more difficult position. I respectfully submit that when we have an affidavit from an older teenager setting out what she considers to be exceptionally difficult or an abusive situation, the courts are compelled to look at it.
Mr. Blondin, now I assume what you're referring to is the October 31 order issued in your most recent motion where the court essentially found it did not have jurisdiction. And so a couple follow-up questions. Again, would it matter how much new evidence or additional evidence, number one, if there's no jurisdiction to consider it until the appellate court has resolved the issue of mediation? And if ultimately, as is decided here, as I understand it, that your client must mediate any custody motion, would it matter, at least for our purposes, whether the child had an affidavit or there was multiple children affidavits or what it is if it has to be mediated?
Your Honor, I would respectfully submit that when there is substantial evidence, and this is, we only need a prima facie case, and in this situation, we have substantial evidence of abusive behavior.
Can I just clarify, though, would that not require a mediation provision, which I assume does not exist here, that has an exception for unless an affidavit alleges emergency or some other exception? I don't understand that to be the case. It's my understanding that Judge Bryan initially ordered you must send go to mediation. The Court of Appeals affirmed that, and there's no exceptional provision for it. Am I correct about that?
You are correct describing it, and my argument is that a court may not pass off an endangerment allegation to a third party, especially a non-judicial officer, with the allegation of endangerment.
Is there any case law specifically identified in your brief that supports that argument?
I can find no case where that has been reviewed. What we have here is more than simply a prima facie case. It's a well-presented situation where the older teenager considers herself endangered because of the behavior of one parent. I respectfully submit to the court that when we have these allegations of endangerment, it is improper for the district court to refer it to a non-judicial officer. There is just no statutory authority. That's making up law on the fly, so to say. Unless the legislature has granted specific powers to someone who is not a district court judge, such as a mediator or any other position, the district court must address that question. We couldn't even have child support matters decided by administrative law judges in the child support process. They had to be moved to judicial branch. And here, not only is it someone who is not employed specifically by the state, it's simply a type of mediator who is a layperson. And without direction from the legislature saying that very important judicial function can be delegated to someone else, it's incumbent upon the courts to make that decision. That would be the main point of my argument, is this is a judicial decision, and we ask that a judge make the decision. I really have nothing else.
Thank you, Mr. Blondin. Thank you for your briefing, and thank you for appearing and accommodating the difficult circumstances by doing so electronically. The matter is submitted, and we will issue our opinion within the statutory period.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. We're in recess.